Holy shit, we are going to have a weird show today because I got some news this morning and it's very exciting, especially for me. If you can go to my screen here, Brian, Oil London, who is an ex-transsexual, also is transracial, went through surgeries to be Jimin and then now works for the Israeli government as a PR person. Really nice pairing, transsexuality, transracial, pro-Zionism in one package. Maybe they're all connected, I don't know. But he put something up today and said, Ben Affleck, Jennifer Garner's daughter, came out as trans, which is like fucking moving. It's particularly during her grandfather's funeral. Serafina Rose, 15, announced her new boy's name is Finn. By the way, please don't misappropriate pronouns. We don't like that on this show. While appearing with her head shaved at a memorial service for her grandfather over the weekend, she told me the memorial service, which was streamed live on Facebook. Hello, my name is Finn Affleck. Her father, Ben Affleck, is now married to Jennifer Lopez. Crying. You're crying. We're all crying. The fact that a trans person would take a family member's funeral and turn it into something to make it about them being trans. Not only am I shocked because I thought transgender people were always honest, good people. They weren't sick, freaky weirdos, which is very transphobic to say. And to find out that this transgender used her grandfather's funeral to come out and make it about her being trans is fucking amazing. Thank you so much, Finn. And that's just the start of what a good show is going to be today. My name is Elijah Schaefer. It's approximately 10:07 p.m. Eastern time in the United States. Get your tissue out. Hopefully you weren't doing other things on your keyboard. And I got my guest on today, comic and podcaster Sam Tripoli. Let's start the show. All right, my name is Elijah Schaefer. Welcome to Nightly Offensive. We are talking about a gripping story of a transsexual, which are obviously the best people in the world, coming out and taking his grandfather's funeral to come out as transgender. Somebody who's a big advocate of that and obviously is just as concerned about this breaking story that has just rattled the internet and families around the world. I'd like to welcome to the show Sam Tripoli. Welcome Brother. To Nightly Offensive.
Thanks for having me. I love it. I love your setup. You're so much more professional than me. Look at you, man. You got a nice background. I got like 4 books. My autistic daughter's eating half of them. So it's good to be here, man. I love your show. It's a great show, dude.
Hell yeah. I also brought a Aboriginal with a didgeridoo. So I guess we're like, fully professional. You know what I mean?
Keep it real.
His name's Marange Wangambanga.
Good luck on that guy learning to spell that in kindergarten. I mean, geez, that must have taken forever.
For people that don't have a written language, they really chose a complicated way to try to talk to
each
other.
A lot of sound effects.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah. Everything's beatboxing.
Yeah, dude, you know what? I just wanted to get your take on this. Obviously, we're talking about Ben Affleck, Jennifer Lopez, breaking news stuff. We're going to be talking about a lot of weird stuff today on the show, as we typically do. But go to my screen here, Brian. Isn't that crazy that, you know, you die, you live so that your kid can become an actor and rich, you die and you are honored by your granddaughter using your funeral to come out of the closet as transgender? What the fuck is going on, Sam? That's a good question. The episode should be called What the Fuck is Going On?
No, I'm with you on that. That's so weird. Like, I just, like, there's no social norms anymore. That's the problem. And like, everything now is about going viral, that you're willing to just throw any kind of social contracts we have. And, you know, in particular, and listen, 15-year-old doesn't know a lot of social contracts. I don't know if this was ran by anybody. If, you know, if, hey, I'm going to come dress like a man in black at a funeral and then suddenly like totally try to hijack my grandpa's funeral, I would say wait to another day and then you can have your moment. This is saying goodbye to somebody who set up the whole patriarchy, right? Everybody's here. You're in that suit because grandpa made stuff happen. And it's just like unbelievable. We also had that one woman who went off on her dad's funeral because he was a Trumper. And you're like, this is not the time or the place. You know, it's like you're trying to convince everybody that woke people are unicorns and then they're completely trying to act like donkeys. And I just don't understand why people think it's a, there's social etiquette for a reason. Do you be you? I don't give a shit. Well, it doesn't affect me. But your grandfather's funeral, to hijack that moment, doesn't seem like it was the best idea. And there should have been some adults going, today's not the day.
Well, I think we were talking about before the show, too. I think it's really weird because people are mad at you. People are always mad at me. I don't know if they're always. Are they always mad at you? They're always. Yeah, someone's always mad at me.
Pretty okay. much.
Yeah. And I get why, because I'm retarded and I'm like, yeah, I'm retarded. So like I'm mad at myself. So people are like, oh, that person hates you. I'm like, dude, sometimes I hate who I am.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah. Join oh, the yeah. Show. I'm going through that right now with the slur, the N-word. They're like, oh, you're using a slur. I'm like, you can't slur yourself. You can't slur yourself. Slurring yourself, that is called depression, okay? It's not racist. You can't be racist against yourself unless you hate yourself, and that's suicide. It's like the dumbest thing ever.
Well, check this out. So you're in some hot water. I think this is a public clip. People are mad at you for having your own pronouns, which I think is disrespectful. Yeah. I think it's disrespectful to get mad at someone for their pronouns. Who are you to tell a man how he can identify? Let's watch this.
Anybody here have pronouns? Oh, what's your pronouns? Okay. I respect your pronouns. You got to respect my pronouns. Do you want to know my pronouns are? My pronouns are real. That's my pronouns. Hey, we're going to play make-believe. Let's play make-believe.
Yeah, dude, I respect those pronouns, dude.
Thank you, dude.
So I don't even know why it was bleeped. I guess someone bleeped it. Is that a curse word? Is the N-word a curse word? Are we not allowed to say that?
Well, we're not on Instagram. So you got to beep it on Instagram. On Twitter, you can just let it fly, you know. But
hell yeah.
On Instagram, you have to beep it. And people are just going nuts right now. The whole point of that bit, everyone's like, it's a dumb bit. It's a dumb bit. That, like, I make no illusions that is a dumb bit. And it's a dumb bit that went really viral on Instagram and even bigger on Twitter, which to me is a sign of how ridiculous social medias are, that only the dumb goes viral. But then people just can't come to grips. There's so many rules of political correctness. And that whole point of that bit is that they're all hypocritical, right? There's no set rule for everybody. There's no rule that says, Sam, everyone's got to follow this rule. There's so much fine print. And that just shows you that's all bullshit. So you got all these people going up to me going, oh, dude, that's racist. Nobody said anything about black people in that bit. Oh, that's anti-trans. Nobody said anything about gay people in that bit or trans people in that bit. And then I started, oh, that's not how pronouns work. And then I just started finding all these screenshots of TikTokers with pronouns that were like froggy, frog, bone, brittle, demon, demonic. And it's just like, you don't know the rules of pronouns because there are no rules of pronoun. Anything, even sound effects like beep, beep, that could be your pronouns.
Literally, you know, okay, so I was thinking about this too, because you and I were talking about the fact I got into a big fight with the gays. They're still going at me. And you know what their accusation is towards me always is to win an argument. They're always like, and by the way, you're gay. Like we're in sixth grade. And I always thought it's really interesting because number one, yeah, I'm gay. I can be gay whenever I want. I can not be gay in an hour. I could be gay today. I could be a non-practicing gay. I could be a celibate gay. Who cares, right? So it's cool to be gay in 2024. It's fashionable. It's chic. Like we should all want to be gay. We should want our children to be gay. We should all be gay. We should not even. It's climate change, right? It's also a solution for climate change. You can't reproduce, and then it's just great. And then ugly chicks, you can rent their wombs so they still get to experience pregnancy. It's awesome shit. But they go around and they're like, oh, you're gay. And then they also say too, I hope your son grows up to be gay. And I always thought it was weird with the homosexual community. And I always have to clarify, the gay community is different than just somebody who happens to be gay. Because I do know some gay people who are just cool. They're whatever. They just fuck dudes. Whatever. 100%. They just do some weird shit in the bedroom and, you know, it's not my jam, but maybe it's their butter. But I think it's weird that these gay people that are so big on promoting being gay, that they are using gay as an insult. It's like the pronoun people too, where it's like, you literally said I can be whatever I want. And then I tell you what I am and you're offended by it. So are you saying I'm fucking crazy for making up some crazy shit and then identifying by it? It's like they're telling on themselves.
Well, that rant was so great. I'm going to come out of the closet right now. It's freaking gay. I mean, that was the gay's version of I have a dream speech that you did right there. So thank you for that. And so, you know, there's comics out there that are, and these internet trolls are always like, Sam's gay, Sam Jason Tran. I'm like, tell Netflix that so I can get a special. I would love to have a special on Netflix called My Girlfriend's Got a Bigger Dick Than Me, and that will be the name of my special, and I'll just do an hour on trans jokes. And then, of course, all the fat, ugly open micers who got nothing going on will talk about how hacky the bit is. That it's just ridiculous. The problem with the internet is that there's so many people that aren't living their dreams that just attack people living their dreams. And that's the whole problem with the internet. And you're totally right. That fat fuck at YouTube sink, you know, when he's going after people like, he's gay, he loves trans. It's like, he just lets you know that he really thinks trans are freaks, as he loves watching chicks blow horses, okay? So, I mean, that's where we're at with that. It's a giant hypocrisy. Because in reality, they think trans are just freaks. And most people like me, I can only speak for myself, I just don't care what you do, as long as you're not hurting people, and particularly children. As long as you leave the kids alone, do whatever you want. Do whatever you want in the privacy of your own home. I don't care. But what, you know, this whole thing about how, oh, we're not coming for these people, we're not coming for those people. Dude, they're coming for everybody. There's nobody that they don't try to turn gay. It could be Mao, Hitler, every Marvel comic guy has to be gay, has to go both ways. So if you're like a Marvel comic character and you don't do well at the box office, boom, suddenly you're a power bottom. And that's just how it goes. And it's just like, come up with your own ideas. Even like the gay flag is so bad. It's so uncreative. It looks like 8-bit Atari diarrhea. And like, they're the most creative people on the planet. They should have unicorns stomping, well, you know, stomping Nazis or something creative about that flag, and they have nothing. And that's just where it's at, dude. That's just that. That's the whole thing. It's like projection. Because in reality, listen, being a trans and a crossdresser, that used to be outlaw shit on the fringe. You live that life because you wanted to live that life. Now they're trying to push it into the mainstream, right, and get everybody to do it. And not everyone's built for that life. And that's the same thing with like OnlyFans and pornography. Like the people who used to do porn didn't have a lot of career options. And this is their chance of trying to make a little money before they just, you say goodbye at 35, right? But now they're trying to get your secretary, you know, the substitute teacher, all to do OnlyFans. And they're just not built for that vibrational life. And that's why they're all just spiraling out of control. Because you're trying to make outlaw shit mainstream. Does that make any sense?
Oh, 100%. But I see that too. Like a lot of people don't understand, you know, like people are saying there's a lot of like, you know, conservatives, which I'm not a conservative myself, but there's a lot of people that were like, you know, riding Trump's
annoying thing. That's the most annoying thing.
They're riding Trump's dick, you know, for years, and all of a sudden they're coming out as liberal. I've worked with some of these people before, and I go, well, what it is, man, is like, if you're going to be a part of like a populist, you know, if you're going to be the opposition to the opposition, like if you're going to be not only right wing, but you know, sort of Trumplican or background right wing. Once Trump got out of office and they're trying to put that bro in jail and everything, you know, like you said, people aren't built for that. Like people wanted to ride his dick so they could get fame or they could wear a MAGA hat and get clicks. And then now it's like, you know, it's tough to support that guy. You know, you get shit on for it. You can lose your job. You know, people get, you know, you lose your friendships, and you realize that a lot of people, you know, that run the conservative grift sort of have dipped out and become like hyper progressive. And it's not that they're intentionally becoming progressive or they're trying to like, you know, that they were grifters. It's just, I think people don't think through what they're getting into. Like, that's what I genuinely think. I think people just see a path and they go with the energy and they go down that direction and then it's working. And then all of a sudden they hit road bumps, they get pushed back or they have problems. And you kind of see whether people are tested or not. You know what I mean? Like I've had people try to ruin my entire life. I have people this week, every day trying to cancel me, say some dumb shit about me. And it's like, it doesn't affect me anymore. I'm way past that because I know why I do what I do. And I know why I say what I say and I believe what I believe. And you're really not going to affect me anymore. But I genuinely, genuinely believe that the majority of the world are predators, that they're just preying on people to follow their ideology so they can feel better about it. And people don't realize the cost of certain choices. And, you know, it's like porn's free, but you pay with your soul. So yeah. People don't realize what they're doing, you know, even with politics. Like I think it's funny. I think the reason why everyone's going liberal in the right-wing politics is because politics used to be Hollywood for ugly people. But now Hollywood is for ugly people too. So now they're all going back to trying to be famous again and be like drama and stuff because they have a chance with the new Juliet actress has a mustache. So I'm serious.
And like, dude, there's not a manual for how to deal with women with mustaches because it happens and it's traumatizing. And you're like, does anyone want to tell you? Like when you ever go out with food on your teeth, and like nobody tells you, and you're like, do any of you love me? Do any of you care for me that you wouldn't tell me I got food in my teeth? Here's the whole thing, dude. So I get in this trouble. I've been told I've gotten in trouble. I haven't seen it. The only thing I've gotten is a bunch of, it's like three guys on Twitter, and then I've gotten a bunch of private comments on my Instagram, and I'm sure it's been being shared all over the place and they're just teeing off on me. But in reality, I've heard nothing. Okay. But nobody's also come. Very few people have contacted me. I've had a couple people contact. Hey, dude, it's all good. I love you anyways. I don't need them to do that. Okay. But what I find funny is the silence of everybody because they all know exactly what I'm talking about. And that is pronouns are just blackmail, narcissism, bullying. And they all hate it. Nobody likes pronouns, okay? Nobody likes woke stuff. See, because I'm at the green room in the comedy clubs when the doors close and it's just comics talking to comics. And they all hate the woke stuff. But they're never going to say anything because they're just praying at a dying altar. It's dying. It's dead. And they don't even understand. They're a frog in a pot. Because what's happening is these streaming services are taking over and they're making less and less episodes, less and less series. And they're just going to get put in the poorhouse. But they don't care. They just keep bending over, co-signing on the stupid. Okay. Instead of going enough is enough. You know, I had a guy come on my show. I was supposed to do his show. He never hit me back he canceled the show the next day and never hit me back again to do the show. And he's trying to work in Hollywood. I don't hate him, but I know he feels like how I feel. I know he does, but everyone's too chicken shit to say anything because in Hollywood, it takes one red light for you not to work, but you weren't going to work anyways. That's the whole thing. your silence is causing the erosion of your career to happen quicker.
Well, yeah, because you see shit like this. Let me bring this up, Brian. There's somebody posted, right, on the eclipse. I had the cutest day for the eclipse. It was cloudy, but the sun finally shone through just before the peak. We had charcuterie and took cute pictures with flowers. Sunny, they them left. I'm surprised. I would never have thought that they had plural pronouns. You know, when you're the body weight of two people, it makes sense that you have a duplicit identity. And it's like, and then it's she, her on the right. And it's like, that's the most fucked up version of a woman I've ever seen. And I think that's what I think is, I think with the woke stuff, why I kind of get mad at the culture wars is like, people who get triggered, you know, like, this is disgusting. It's like, no, it's actually funny. Like, not only is this person going to burn in hell, and so it's kind of not funny, but not it is funny because they're like, their identity is the fact that they're going to hell, but not just that they're going, but they're living in one. And so it's like, this is funny because for me, when I'm in a bad position, you know, it sucks. I've been heavier. I've been lighter. I'm not making fun of people for struggling with weight. You know, maybe these people were molested and that's not funny. You know, but it is funny because I have friends who are molested who don't look molested like this. You know? Yeah. So there you go. Everyone's doing it. It's trendy these days.
Here's
everyone's
the thing, dude.
I mean, you can't get away with it.
I mean, most of my whole thing is like, I don't give a shit. Okay. Like you want to go out like that. You want to do that. You can go do that. But when you have these pronouns, what you are doing is you're forcing people that normally would live on the fringe, forcing people almost at gunpoint to play this narcissistic game of yours. Okay. And what these people are saying, they, them. So we can't say, hey, Carol went to go eat. The people in the office have to go, they, them went to go eat. And it's just complete narcissism. I know somebody who was working in the office that had someone whose pronouns changed by the minute. Do you think that's not a bit of bullying and narcissism right there? You can have the pronouns all you want. To me, giving yourself your own pronouns, which is hilarious. I get lectured all the time. I don't know pronouns. I know pronouns. We learn pronouns in school, okay? But what this new thing is, that even the people who love pronouns don't even understand pronouns. That anything can be a pronoun. And that's how crazy it is. But what you're like giving yourself, saying you possess a pronoun is like giving yourself your own nickname. And there's nothing cheesier than giving yourself a nickname. It's the ultimate sign of being an egotistical retard. Okay. Nobody likes that person. And what you do, so you're going to work, you're like, oh, I'm they, them. And then 2 minutes later, you're he, her. And it's like, dude, you're just trying to fuck with people because the first time in your life, you have a little power. It's like when homeless people take forever to cross the street. That is their little way of controlling power. That's the little way. That's how they do it. I saw a guy today walking down right in traffic, down the traffic line of people coming at me this way with two carts full of stuff right in the middle of the lane like he was a car, smiling the whole way. That is his power trip right there. And that's the same thing I have when it comes to these pronouns. You're just a narcissist egomaniac. That's what it is. You're forcing everyone at gunpoint to deal with your pronouns, your mental illness. At home, you can call yourself they, them, whatever. At work, it's like we have this kind of social contract with each other that we're all just going to come to work, not put our bullshit on other people. And this is what happens. And it's like back in the day when someone got super religious and was always pushing their religion on you, you're like, ah, leave me alone. Now it's the other way around. Now it's like people right. pushing on their progressive views into work, making it public policy. That's never happened before.
Well, and it's like, you want me to respect you. It's like, hey, nice tits, dude. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I mean, hey, they look expensive and, you know, good for you. But can we also get back to this too? Like, I was laughing the other day about how, like, we've also lost the meaning to literally everything. And an example of that is I saw this picture that said, like, trans conservatives versus trans liberals.
And yeah, you're
why the fuck does everything have to be liberal versus conservative? Sorry, guys, by the audience today. I'm just a little bit like on a I don't give a fuck mode today. So there might be more cursing than normal. Because I'm just like, I just don't care sometimes. Some days I wake up and I just don't feel like caring.
You're the master of your domain, bro. You can say whatever the fuck you want.
I looked at it, I'm like, If you are a dude with a dick, okay, and you're tucking that thing tight up between your legs, it seems uncomfortable, but I mean, I went to RuPaul's Drag Con and did a video there, and, you know, I was pretty surprised at some of the underwear, you know, the way that it worked. They showed me. It was very, very interesting.
The technology's grown by day.
Yeah,
wait till the AI gets into the trans business. We're going to see technology grow tenfold by then.
Yeah, by the way, I had an idea just now for a luxury tucking underwear brand. You could join in and invest with me. So everybody likes to go to the island of Nantucket or like the area of Nantucket. What about Mantucket? So luxury, like just for the people who deserve to be in Nantucket, Mantucket.
Yeah, and then we can put we need to come up with some kind of crypto with that will really help grow. We need like a crypto smash. Coin. Yeah, like, smash your pass coin.
Yeah,
pass or no pass.
The Apple Vision Pros now with tucking technology. It did seem very uncomfortable, but I was like, dude, if you're transgender, that's just its own category. Like at that point, I don't need to know anything else. Like if you're a transsexual and you think that you're not the right gender and you're getting plastic surgery to look like somebody you weren't born as, it's kind of irrelevant to me whether you're conservative or liberal, or you've just already crossed a threshold where I'm just like, that's weird. It's strange. And I'm not going to act like, oh, well, we need to have the base transgenders. We want the base transsexuals on our side. It's like, you know, I'd rather my kid just not know that exists. If I could save him from knowing that existed, I would prefer that. And I'm not going to like, you know, if you want to exist like that, I'm not going to judge you in the fact that like you can exist. But the fact that it's like, well, I'm going to, you know, be a base transgender and fight grooming. How about this? If you've got weird sexual fetishes that you like to wear on the outside of your body, reminding people that I'm not just judging people. I did my thesis on transgender reassignment in youth. Decade ago, before it even was a national conversation, like, I understand the science very deeply and very intricately. By the way, this is molecular biology thesis. This is not, you know, conversational lesbionics or whatever they're teaching today. But when I look at this, I'm going, how about you stop thinking about straight people's kids? How about you guys just leave them the fuck alone? Like, I don't want you fighting groomers. I don't want you fighting these people. Why does this community want to be involved in children's futures when you can't have any? And I think that's why everyone's getting upset. It's like the Israel shit. It's the same thing, man. Like, a lot of people, it's like, you thought blowing up kids for like 9 months and calling them Hamas was gonna work for you? Like, it's you got to think of your strategy. Like, if you wanted to be accepted, then you should have just been, your goal should have been that people don't give a shit about you. Not, I'm going to promote myself and I'm going to infiltrate, you know, the based right wing and be a beast drag queen and stuff. It's like, you know, I'll just fucking stay at home. And again, do that shit in your bedroom. I'm getting sick of it now because I'm from LA. I'm naturally like have a liberal personality. I was always okay with these people, whatever. But it's gotten to the point as a dad now, you're like, you know, if every movie has to have a transsexual, like you said, or whatever, it's just like, at this point, you guys aren't trying to do things in the quiet of your bedroom. You know what I mean? You're basically trying to replicate.
No, I understand what you're saying. And the only thing I would say about that, and just because, you know, there's all these rules again to come to to political correctness. And it's like why people really love like Normal Frankenstein or whatever his last name is, right? Finkenstein or whatever his name is, that's pushing back against Israel because he is Jewish. So in a weird way, and I understand totally what you're saying, is that having these trans people coming out and against groomers weirds you out. But at the same time, just based on the rules of political correctness and progressive, it's a lot harder for them to dismiss them. And my biggest problem with the big push of like progressivism, and this isn't just trans, this is just everybody on the far, far left, is like this desire to come after children when they've all had generational trauma and they're all in therapy and they're all in psych meds to deal with that generational trauma. That's my biggest problem. Like, you all are in therapy. You're all in therapy for shit that happened to you as a kid. And because you want to get a gig and you want all these green lights, you're perfectly fine with them traumatizing children. And like the whole thing with this sex ed shit where they're like, it's just sex ed. If people really understood the history of sex ed, they would not be cool what sex ed is. It started with Kingsley, right? Is that his last name? The guy literally ran a pedophile ring in as and disguised as scientific research. Dude, he raped children. He raped children. And it's a fact. And so when I see someone in trans going, hey, man, let's stop grooming, I think it probably comes from that they got groomed. And so, you know, I got molested. So I'm like, I don't want people to get molested. I've struggled with drug addiction, alcoholism, sex addiction, all these things that I got all the drinking and drugs and all that shit under control, working on other stuff as well. But, you know, that's my point with that. But again, I don't care what you do. Stay away from the kids. They're impressionable. And it's coming from all different sides. And it's like, there's no reason for a drag queen to read to children. There's no logical reason for children to have to get a book read to them by a drag queen. Drag queens are advanced algebra that are way down the line for us to try to figure out what the fuck that is. Okay? Leave the kids alone. That's all everyone's saying. Most, if you couldn't do it, but because queer theory is, and we're not talking about homosexuality, we're talking about queer theory. Queer theory has its roots in people who push pedophilia. It's just a fact. This is where we're getting into where facts hurt people's feelings and all that stuff. But these are the facts. And you go all the way back. It's a very famous video right now of a professor playing like pedophile Jeopardy, right? Have you seen that video? And he just lights these kids up and they all just get their asses kicked. And it's just because it's all based in that.
Well, it's also like, I feel like your hat looks like it was molested, by the way. I don't know what happened there. What happened? Well, how did that, what does that,
The upside down? What?
Yeah, I was confused about that.
I just saw it one day on TV, and I'm like, I like it. And then everybody wants to find out the symbolism of it, other than it's just different. And so everyone's like, LA's under siege. I'm like, I don't fucking know. I could care less. It's just a different wearing hat.
Well, in LA now, too, I feel like growing up in LA, I always tell people this. I grew up in LA that more people I know were molested than not. And so it's sort of like a fashionable thing. You know what I mean? Like you come out of LA and it's like, oh, you don't even have to clarify whether you were molested or not anymore. You just say, I grew up in LA and then you were molested. Right. So it's like I always tell the parents, like, if you want your kids to get raped, go live in Los Angeles because there's a lot of raping of children going on and it's a great place to get raped. So it's ironic.
By the tourists.
Yeah. It's sex tourism, but non-consensual. And you just end up with a drug addiction and alcohol addiction, or you end up being gay, one or the other, but actually both, because I think gays also have drug addictions too. And alcohol addiction. That's a very, very real thing, by the way. I had a gay professor at UC Irvine, and he used to come on ecstasy after like orgies and stuff. And he would just tell us, like, I was in an orgy last night. I'm still coming off the E. And you're like, damn, that's crazy, man. And
that
you're
like is a professor. Crazy that you're like putting that out to everybody. It's like, that is the craziest shit I've ever heard a professor say. Like,
he
why
put
is
gay
that
porn
okay?
in class. He put gay porn on the screen to teach us about globalism. It never made sense to me. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, nobody went, what are you doing, dude?
I did. I went to his office after and I said, and he was playing Angry Birds. And I was like, hey, what the fuck was that shit you played in class? Like, that was really weird. I know. It's like, show me more. No, I was like, that was just like, I was going to talk to like the dean. And then I realized it's just college. You know what I mean? Like it was a class on like why globalism was good. That's literally what the whole class was like. We should all be globalists.
What?
And I was like, it was a class on globalism at UC Irvine. It was literally about becoming like the good side of like becoming a uniracial sort of homogenous group where we're all mixed. And like, it was all like, it was like anti-whiteness, anti-fragility, pro-trade. It was like the weirdest shit. And the dude would come on drugs to class and he would tell us he was at orgies. It was very weird.
So he showed the gay porn as a positive of globalism. They're like, because of globalism, we have this. And just.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't just like just hardcore porn. There was like a bit of a story to it, but we had to watch this like short like film. And there was like just straight up gay sex in it, like not censored, like
what?
We just sat there and I was like looking around like,
and what was everybody else doing in the class? Were they taking notes?
Well, I walked out.
Look at the lighting on that. What is that lighting? Oh my God. This director knows cinematography.
I dropped out of that college like a few weeks later. I was like, this is, I'm paying a lot of money for no reason. Let me give a huge shout out real fast to our sponsor today before we talk more about these illuminating conversations here. Shout out to PurgeStore.com. Okay, guys, this is not a joke, and this is absolutely amazing. So PurgeStore obviously is a cleanser for your gut. What is a cleanser? Do you know your mood is linked to your gut health? This is like a true thing. There are genetic mutations that can cause gut problems. I believe personally, which they don't say this, that vaccinations can cause gut problems. But on the flip side, a lot of times just the crap that you eat is disgusting. And some of you have parasites living in your body. I don't mean like alien, like breaking out, but just like microorganisms and things in your body that really are affecting your gut flora. And, you know, you have prebiotics, probiotics, and this is basically getting rid of the conbiotics, which I just made up. Bad bacteria, bad things in your body, infiltrating species. Now, this is not some product that claims to be a miracle and fight cancer and all these things, but I'm telling you, a lot of cancers and different things can happen and change your body from these infiltrated microorganisms in your body. And you have to do these cleanses. Now, this is an all-natural way to do it. There's a bunch of things you could take to do this naturally, but it's expensive. So they basically, scientifically engineered it down into a pill. And like the craziest thing is some of you guys have done this cleanse fully, like fully, and it cured your IBS. I've heard great stories from you guys. So if you've been thinking about doing a gut cleanse and getting rid of the bad infiltrated microorganisms in your body, Check out PurgeStore.com. Use my promo code Elijah for 10% off. Also, fucking support the show because we're demonetized everywhere and we're canceled left and right all the time. And there's always some homo or something out there talking shit. So, and this company's cool enough, they'll let me say that during the ad read. Trust me, they will. But you should go support this at PurgeStore.com. Promo code Elijah, 10% off. Do something good for your gut for once and actually clear it out with the Purge at PurgeStore. They also have a lot of other natural things as well. I encourage you to check it out. All right, Sam Tripoli, comic, podcaster. We were talking about that. I want to bring something up here. You know, by the way, this show sells so much stuff from ads. It supports the whole show. But I think the key thing with ads is just to keep it real. You know what I mean? Like, you don't overpromise, don't underpromise. And I hate when people are like, this will cure your cancer. It's like, nah, bro, this is just going to clear out your guts and it feels good and you're going to stop being bloated and feel great. It actually does clear out your guts. I don't know if anyone's ever done it. Have you ever done a cleanse? Have you ever done a gut cleanse? It's insane.
I've done a little bit of cleansing. I've done some fasting. But I love that those people are sponsoring your show. I think that's great. I'm trying to go more with the indies like that. You know, I'm gold and silver. I'm getting into that. Sponsors with that. Crypto, all that stuff. So I'd rather go with the indies than go with the established brands. And, you know, again, going back to my controversy, I think that's why nothing's happened, because they realize they can't really cancel anything. There's not. I have my own pirate ship and that's what I'm doing. So I love that you have an ad and I think that's great, dude.
Yeah, dude. Hey, let's talk about the canceling, because I think. Okay, so this is really interesting you bring this up. I'm just going to go in this direction, guys, because I'm one of those days where I would just want to talk about whatever. I don't want to talk about the news today. I'm over it. But, like, meaning I'm having a good day, actually. I'm just, like, don't want to bother myself with negativity. I think what's really interesting is there's no such thing as being canceled. I've heard it said. You simply are demoted, right? So there's a demotion that happens where, like, the best example is obviously Hollywood. You could be, you know, kicked off of a movie, right? For some allegation, or kicked off of a movie because you had a tweet that said the N-word or something, whatever. So you get kicked out of Disney and now you're on, you're not on Netflix, you're on P-Flex, you know? So if you're black, you actually have to play a black role, kind of demotion, right? You got to play the black guy in a movie for once, not a white person. But in the political world, We're in the media world, in the podcasting world. I call it political and culture, I should say. We're in a really fucking good time to be canceled. And here's what I mean is it's like I have somebody talking shit and they're like, his career is over. And I'm like, yeah, my career is so over that you're talking about me, which is funny. Like, you're talking about me and trying to talk shit on me because my career is done. So what is there to talk shit on? But I will say this, I've never been in a better position in terms of views, viewership and everything. It's never been better. And the people that have tried to cancel me before, or their networks or their people, are literally losing relevance. Like they're more, you know, they have established brands or names or different things, but like their viewership is dropping, right? Like I have a new show and just yesterday did 1.4 million views. Like that show's doing millions of views per week on that new show. And it's news, but it's like, I've never had that many views on my shows regularly. And I realized the key thing was, is I just had to start my own thing, do my own thing, and find my own sponsors. And now, like, it used to freak me out when people would try to, you know, talk shit and stuff because they could take things away, and they did. But after that, I go, well, I'm not going to go try to just get a job somewhere. I'm going to, like, become an executive, take equity in companies, do things. So I'm like an owner and all this stuff. And I sort of created like a cancel-proof little mini media empire. Don't work with a huge crew, just have a few employees. And now when people try to come after me, I laugh at them and I call them the N-word in DMs. You know what I mean? Like, so that's what I do now, because you can't take it away. So I was going to say, like, being canceled, it used to be really bad, the whole Me Too movement, all that stuff. But now it's like a fucking liberating thing, because once someone takes things away and you lose it and you feel how bad that is, you learn how to fucking provide for yourself and that people can't take away. And all of a sudden it's like, now you're not even worried about what people are saying about you on the internet, which is the most freeing shit possible. As a public figure, to not care what people are saying about you on the internet is like the most liberating shit. And you have to thank the people that cancel you or try to for pushing you into that position, because that's liberty, man. That's liberty.
You know, man, you're a firecracker, bro. You're a lighthouse in a sea of shit. And that's why people love that shit, because you speak truth, so you don't care. And people are dying in this completely phony world. They're begging for authenticity. It's when I pull over young comedians, I always go, "Hey man, the future is authenticity. How honest can you get? Unless you're a Democrat, you know, there are some what I call demographic mascots that blow up. The, like the super Asian, all the Asians love, super Mexican, all the Mexicans love. Like, but if you're not one of those, and you learn that very quickly, whether you're a plug and play dude, a demographic mascot, you have to be the most authentic you can be, because that's what people are going to look for. And that's why you're thriving right now, because you're fearless, dude. And you know, you're not afraid to say what you mean, and you don't care about feelings. Feelings are bullshit. Political correctness is fake. It's just there to create a world that plays to people's strengths and outlaws their weaknesses. They don't want to compete against you. They want to be able to say everything they say and not have you say it. So that's why you're thriving. People love that you're the truth, dude. So, you know, when people say cancel culture isn't real, in a weird way, they're right. Because cancel culture was only the result of corporations astroturfing that there was this movement. So what you would have is this person go, "Wah, this person did this to me, wah." And then the corporations would come in swiftly, even before there was a debate on whether something actually happened or it was real or anything. And they would, boom, you're guilty, gone. And you would be excommunicated. And it gave the illusion of cancel culture. Because the truth of the matter is that the social justice warrior progressive left is the American ISIS. They're a well-funded extremist group that has come in to destabilize. And that's what their whole thing is, right? That's all their power. They only have power because the people at the top give them power. But once they couldn't take down Joe Rogan, it all started going away. And they started to feel the consequences of their actions. And listen, the truth of the matter is, E, they don't care about the money they're losing. They don't give a fuck about that. They could just take Fed funny money. Sorry about that. My camera just went. Dude, the CIA's everywhere.
It's okay.
They're even in my
camera. You're not drinking anymore, but your camera is.
Yeah. So you know, I forget the point I was making, but
you said they couldn't take Joe Rogan down. It all started crumbling, is what you said.
Yeah, it all started crumbling. So then we started to realize that it was all fake. Oh, yeah, here it is. It's not really about the money, dude. It's not. Because they can print Fed funny money and do a bailout and clean out all the red. It's that they can't get your attention anymore. They can't control your attention. And that's why you're seeing all this sweeping censorship right now on social media, because they can't control you anymore. So people like you, you know, 10 years ago, it would be fucking rough, dude. But right now, when it's like, I always say it, dude, it's the best time ever, man, because now everybody gets it. My friend's like, "What do you mean get it?" I go, criticism. Everybody can get criticism right now. And it's very, very hard for me to get sensitive about, "Oh, this guy's being racist," or "that guy's being anti-Semitic." When I watch these people, like really when Ben Shapiro was going off on anti-Semitism, the Babylon Bee put out something about white trash people. And I go, "Listen, you want us to be sympathetic to what you're getting on the internet. And in reality, okay, in reality, you're just getting what you allow people to give to white people." So it's just full circle. And now in reality, everybody gets it. And when it's the old saying, and I'm not saying it perfectly, but you got to watch out for giving people special treatment because they think equality is disrespectful. And that's what we're going through right now.
Yeah. Also, that's the key thing is, like, you know, like when I'll come out and say, you know, I mean, I've been accused of raping the mustache of Juliet, you know, that Juliet actress. I raped her mustache. But I will say, on the flip side, is like, I don't even care anymore. Like I like you said, with the full circle thing, it's gotten so crazy. Even for me, what people say about me has gotten into such a crazy circle where it doesn't even make sense anymore. Like they can't, like, it's like, it's gone into such a full circle. At least now we're back to people just saying I'm gay. Cause I like that one. Cause I am gay. So that's good.
Bro, you can get so much shit for, you could be living the best life as a gay guy that says the N word. You would be
hell,
like,
yeah,
the highest unicorn, the final level boss.
Hell yeah. Unironically, I've come out of the closet 3 times on Twitter. This happened like 2 years ago. There was this whole thing about me being gay. And I had explained that the person who came out with me being gay was my ex-husband. And he knows that I'm gay because we had anal sex. So we were like really into that. So it's like, it would make sense, right? And then he got really mad. He's like, I'm not gay. And I was like, that's not what you were saying when we were banging each other.
Yeah,
so
dude.
That you said you were really gay in the moment. So I'm gay again, I guess. To the public, I'm gay, dude, again. So that's good. I'm happy to be here.
I'm going to tell you something right now. I am coming back out of the closet. I'd slip back in after your speech because I got a little uncomfortable, but I've decided to come back out again for the second time on your show. Thank you for letting me be my authentic self. Thank you.
You know what? You're welcome. The chat said Elijah Schaefer power bottom. Hell yeah. That's what I am. But I think that's what it is that when people try to cancel you or throw things at you, they're actually projecting what they're afraid of. And I've noticed that the people who try to cancel me all the time or talk shit, they can take zero pushback. Like it's like they can't take any criticism, or they end up, you know, they end up just like crumbling under it. And they the people that came after me previously have blocked my crew, the people that work for me that aren't even public about working for me. Like, they're that paranoid. They block my crew from their social media. That's so fucking insane to me that they do that.
Yeah.
Like, but you're saying with the fragility, this is what I mean by what's the good thing. It's like, you walk around in the world, and we got to get rid of that, like the shame, where it's like, even if everything that someone says about you or me or anything is true, we got to get over the fact of people saying, well, because you did something bad one time, or you said something you shouldn't have, or you made a mistake one time, you shouldn't be allowed to eat. You shouldn't be allowed to work. Who said, fuck you, bitch? I can do whatever I want. How about that? How about that? And when you realize that, the power that comes back into your hands, when you realize, how about this? Fuck you. And that's what Elon Musk said. Fuck you. When you have Elon Musk saying to like the CEO of Disney, fuck you, you know, that's crazy. That's fucking crazy. He's like, how about this? Fuck you. Yeah. And then like, it's so simple, but it's like, they're like, well, you're this and you're that. How about this? Fuck you. And I'm rich.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. And that just becomes it. It's like, once you start to realize they can't do anything, you allow other people the bravery to stand up. And it's, this is what I've always said, is like, this is a spiritual war, and everybody thinks they can march and change the game. You can't change the game. What you have to do is you have to beat the game. And by beating the game, you teach others how to beat the game. And then the game adapts to you. So it keeps on. You can march all that you want. You can do all, you're never going to change it. You have to beat it. You have to figure out a great, you know, in comedy, it used to be like, yeah, you do the Tonight Show, then you get a sitcom, maybe you get in the movies. And then one day Dane Cook said, you know what? I'm just going to try to do it on MySpace, and I'm going to blow that up. And everyone's like, oh, dude, you just go on MySpace, you done. Well, everyone started doing MySpace, and the game adapted, and then it became Death Squad, Joe Rogan, and Red Band started doing comedy for just comedy's sake, not to make the industry happy. And then everybody started doing podcasts. And then Andrew Schultz came in and go, oh, I'm going to do podcasts, and I'm going to do clips of my stand-up. And now that's the new game, dude. And now everybody's putting their special on YouTube. And it's like the game adapts to the winners, dude. And that's how you beat the game. That's how you change the game. You got to beat the game. And what you're doing right now is giving people like inspiration to do their own fucking thing. And all the players that fucking come after us, probably more than you than me, because you're much bigger than I am. But it's like,
weren't you just on Joe Rogan last week or something? Yeah, I thought I saw you on there.
Yeah.
You're bigger than me. I was just on Joe, the biggest podcast in the world last week, but dude, give yourself credit, man. You're fucking everywhere, bro. You're like chlamydia, man. You're just getting on. Everyone's catching it.
I just want to say this, dude. It's just like, if you watch, it's the saying, those who can't troll, when they start to realize they cannot compete in a marketplace of ideas, they have to start tearing shit down. And I see it happen all the time. They go in there to try. And podcasting's really hard. For every one of you, there's a billion people that don't make it. And it's really fucking hard. And it probably takes some luck too, you know, but it's hard work and some luck, and they meet together. Or hard work, dedication, opportunity meet together. And that's what luck is. But it's just like, these people are angry. So it's very unattractive people, and it's very unsuccessful people that become trolling people, because they can't create. Demons can't create. Yeah. So they only try to tear down.
Dude, and that's what I think it's, that's what makes me laugh. I actually spoke to my dad.
I'm coming out of the closet for a third time. I'm
out. Dude, hell yeah, me too, dude. I hope someone clips this. I'm gay. You should just make somebody, whoever's in the Discord, make sure you clip this out. Ready? I am gay. I want you to say it too. I want you to say it proudly, please. Go ahead.
One more time. Sorry, my computer went weird.
No worries. Are you, go ahead and just come, just say it clearly so we can clip it in the Discord channel. What, we need a sound.
I'm out for a third time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm out for a third time. I was in the closet, came out of the closet, got scared, went back in the closet, came out again, got really scared, went back, and now I'm out a third time.
Hell yeah.
This show just be in and out of the revolving door of sexuality, bro.
Dude, being gay is cool, dude. It's so cool. And just remember that. Tell your kids that. And then also, that's so good that you can use it as an insult and say, I hope your kid grows up to be gay. Because that is, okay, but this was going to say about the pushback thing is, so my dad was like, I don't know if you know about this, but like, I got the entire black community, like across the world, came after me recently. Like, and I mean, like, seriously, like, there's people arrested involved in this. Like, this is like, I can't even go into the detail for the protection of people on what people did, because it's, I'm not allowed, I shouldn't talk about it because it's genuinely put people I know in danger. But all I said was I thought that the Little Mermaid actress was ugly. And that's all I did. And like, even today, like, I mean, I shared some video with a friend. He was like, why are you angry at these people and think that they're horrible? And I showed him one of the AI videos that someone made of my mom being raped in like interracial, like violent porn. She's dead. You know what I mean? And like, and he saw it and he almost threw up and he was like, dude, this is the most perverted thing I've ever seen. And I go, oh, wait till you see what they did with my wife and everything, and the things they sent to my in-laws and my siblings. And it's really gross. And the threats, like the violence and the crazy things that they did. And they make accounts now. There's a ton of Twitter accounts that are I can't even explain this one, but there are shemale porn accounts that now use my mom's face as the icon, and they're like called Elijah's dead mom, and then they just share like shemale porn. Like, these are fucked up people. Like, it's as bad as it gets. And my dad was like, well, like, why did you say she was ugly? And I said, well, first of all, it wasn't mean, because I said in the same post, I'm ugly, so I can tell what ugly is. That's the kid thing about comedies. You got to be true, but you don't want to be cruel. You got to be funny. So I go, you know, I'm not a comic, but I was just saying, like, dude, she's ugly. I go, what's crazy about this is the reason why I do it, and you might know this. I go, you got a $1 trillion company, like Disney and its parent company, with some bitch that's, you know, with a $250 million budget, not even counting advertising. You have Slate and BuzzFeed and all this shit writing all these articles, gassing this chick up, telling us how she's beautiful. Obviously, we know they intentionally fucking picked a black chick with braids to replace a redheaded white woman. It's their weird fucking agenda. And there's all this shit. If you even go more meta than what the company is, you can go into the fact that white people's opinions don't matter. Black women are queens. Black people don't care about what white people have to say. There's so much to say here. And one little faggot comes out, me, on the internet and goes, actually, I think that she's kind of ugly. And it's like, everything just like melts down. I mean, dude, her husband was going at me. Like Disney made him delete shit because of it was fucking with her contract with Warner Brothers. And like, lawyers got involved. All I said is, this bitch be ugly, and she's fucking ugly, okay? I didn't say that she's not fuckable. I said she's ugly. She's not hot enough to be famous. I work in politics. We're ugly motherfuckers. You're in podcasting. We're all ugly, okay?
I am. Who gives a ugly fuck? It's why I never go viral, because I got bad angles, dog. I went viral once in my life for a dumbass joke because I'm ugly. And listen, she just got like $200 million from somewhere, so
yes!
I'm sure she's fine. You know, so I don't know if you follow this P. Diddy stuff, but...
Oh, yeah, I am.
We just did a whole episode on it today. It will be out tomorrow on Tim Fall Hat. But, you know, P. Diddy kind of gave away the blueprints on how the power brokers in entertainment work. And that is, don't work with talented people. He literally said that. Don't work with talented people. Work with untalented people, because untalented people need you. He kept losing all these rappers because they were so good. He was like signing all the best. And then they would just realize, oh, I don't need P. Diddy anymore, and go off and do their own shit. And he's like, why am I blowing these people up? which is, I think, a big reason why half these rappers get shot and killed, because they just want to go off reservations. But P. Diddy goes, the key is don't sign talented people, sign untalented people, because they need you. And, you know, the whole point about cultural Marxism, okay, the whole point is that it's meant to create anxiety and infighting and everything. So, like, The Little Mermaid by itself, most people, we were in a vacuum by itself, we'd be like, that's nothing, it's a fictional character. But when you look at what the Bolshevik Revolution did, what communism does, what Marxism does, it is making it so that you and your children have a different information set. So you can't pass down knowledge to your next family. So my daughter knows The Little Mermaid as a black girl. I know The Mermaid as a white girl with red hair. We don't have the same knowledge set. That's really hard to pass on knowledge and help your kids go to the next level. But the elites, that's all they do is pass on knowledge. So their kids get a running fucking start. It's the whole reason all the heroin families that were running the heroin trade started all the Ivy League schools, because they wanted their kids to go to these schools to get a head start on all the cows and the cattle. How they see the rest of us. So that's why it's like when they tear down these statues and they change the name of this and they change the character to that, it's not just done because we just want, you know, to be progressive. It's done so that our children don't have the same, our knowledge does not help our children.
Right. I think one of the weirdest things is like you mentioned that about the P. Diddy stuff. And I think that I've noticed that too, is I think that the reason why people probably would be mad at you or hate you or any of these things,
everybody
is because, well, it's because when you can do it on your own, even if it's significantly harder, I see a lot of people complaining on a regular basis, right? About, like I'm censored, I'm shadow banned. Okay. Everyone's censored monetarily to some degree. Everybody's taken down to some degree. Everybody is brought to a certain level of, you know, censorship, because like you mentioned, they're trying to make submission be a reward. So if you're not submissive, you're going to receive pushback. It doesn't matter if it's from a tech company, a plant in the industry, the government. It's just expect pushback in the form of something's going to be deboosted. Money's not going to be easy to acquire. That's your fucking reward for not complying. And it's like crazy, because then you look at these people, that's why people get confused about media. I think they're like, I could do it, because look at these people, they're untalented. That was literally my thought. I go, everything sucks ass and so do I. So I can suck ass a little bit less than them and still somehow make a living, because every movie's terrible, every song is shit, and the comedy isn't funny. So why don't I just come on and make a not funny, terrible show and people will watch it. But on the flip side, I've faced so much pushback for not complying. And, you know, some of it's my own stupidity and retardedness. You know what I mean? I've made some dumb decisions throughout my entire life that has not helped me, you know, to like get ahead in life. But at the same time, it's like, even if you make a mistake, if you're not complying, your punishment will be 10 times more severe, because they'll come down, they'll drop the hammer on you to make sure that you die, because ultimate goal is they don't want anyone else getting the same fucking idea. They don't want anyone else, like you said, they don't want capable people that know how to run stuff or start stuff getting the idea that they can do it. They don't want people in that position. So it is remarkable to me, and it is absolutely remarkable that, I don't know, it's just people deny the world we live in. But that's why I was going to say is I say what I say because what I say shouldn't matter. And if she wasn't ugly, nobody would care. But unfortunately, you just have to sometimes drop truth bombs. And saying that she's ugly brings down the house of cards and reminds you, look, all the money you put in the world isn't going to deny reality. They're fighting reality. So really, the strength's on our side. That's how I feel. The P. Diddy stuff is crazy, though, man. I didn't even hear about that. That's really good.
Isn't that great? And it's just like, you know, the whole thing about being a conspiracy theorist, whether you're into the political game or the spiritual game or just your job, you're like, am I being paranoid or all these retards passing me by? Conformists, people that have nothing interesting to say, that, and not that everybody who makes it isn't talented, or even the people that make it aren't talented. Some of them obviously are, But it's like there's this really, like, if you study, let's say, the show Beef on Netflix, I like the show. But the show is literally about how two Asians can't drive, right? Which is like the hackiest racist thing you could possibly fucking say about Asian people. But that flow, that's what those people pitched to a network. And the network was like, yeah, great idea. Let's do it. If you and I went pitch that, they'd be like, no, that's racist. That's stupid. It's all done to demoralize us. They don't want us to have any heroes anymore. And that's the problem with basically, like, why I'll go watch Godzilla and I won't go watch Napoleon is because, like, I have more faith in Godzilla being interesting than these actors who play these roles. I don't know. The mysticism of acting is gone. It doesn't interest me anymore. You know, I see everything. You know, it's just like they just see, they don't, they're not, they just don't seem special anymore. So all the mystery, like, once you understand how the hot dogs are made in Hollywood, you don't want to see any of their projects except for Japanese people and fucking Godzilla.
Dude, you know? Look, I'm with you on that. But I think that with you saying about hiring untalented people that need you, that I think that people do not realize that that is the mindset. When we say the elites, whatever you want to call them, the deep state or the Bilderberg group or the Jews or whatever you want to call them today, ultimately, their power relies on you needing them. That's the entire, the government will tax you more to provide more services so that you need them more. You have less of your money and more of your stuff from them. It's a very basic cycle. But that is in every, you know, company and everything. Why do the companies don't pay you a lot of money? And they pay you just enough to survive and they keep all the money because they don't want to lose you. If they give you too much money, make you think you're too valuable, you'll jump ship and you'll go to another company. Why do you think companies pay similarly? It's horizontal monopoly. It's like the idea of one company, you know, they can keep the profits, keep everybody low and make everyone think that your work isn't so valuable. Why do you think that they go to sports players and they give them all this money? Because your greatest aspiration is to throw around a ball and to distract people. That's the way to make the most money in their system, is to just be a distraction. It's not to do anything significant. And with the P. Diddy stuff, I feel like it's much deeper than Epstein too, because what you're seeing there is the actual control of an entire industry, the media, the influencers, the people that are out there. I didn't realize that they were just raping them and then, like, blackmailing them or having them, like, rape. I didn't know it was that bad, man. I didn't know they were, like, I didn't know that Diddy and all these people, like, it was this connected. And if Diddy's like this, how many more people? There's Epstein, there's Diddy. Is this an entire network of people? Like, I'm confused,
dude. 100%. I mean, you just study these guys. I mean, like, Daniel Snyder. So the big thing about P. Diddy, the big thing about Daniel Snyder, and maybe this even applies to Jeffrey Epstein. At some point, they stop making these people money. They're not making any more money, but they're owed a lot of money through, you know, all the unions that they created these intellectual properties. They get paid money off of every sale, every viewing. At some point, you're like, why am I going to pay these fucking assholes any more money? I could just throw them in jail and they no longer have to get paid. And that's what just happens. And it's just crazy to me that people don't see what's going on. And again, the Me Too movement is just so quiet during all this bullshit. And it upsets me because, like, I mean, kids are the most, like, a big part of the reason I did the N-word bit and put it out was because I would go to these, like, roast battles and I would watch these roasters just do kid fucking jokes over and over and over again to the point that the crowd got bored. They heard it. And I go, hey, dude, I'll throw somebody $50 if they roast somebody with the N-word right now. Nobody would do it. Nobody would do it. And what really ticked me off was when I had this, because especially with roast, where you're supposed to say the nastiest shit ever. It's like annihilation, right? And then I watched that guy get stabbed, that guy who was like anti-police, enforcing crime, get stabbed by the black guy, and his wife won't give a description of the assailant because she doesn't want to feed in the racial stereotypes. I go, we've lost our collective minds at this point. Now the theory of hate is worse than actual crimes being committed. And that's why I think we're just all fucking I'm just a nut. I'm just over this bullshit. You again, like I said at the beginning of the show, there is no set rule in political correctness that applies to everybody. There's none. So therefore, you can't take it real. You can't think it. You can't take any of it serious.
Well, I do agree with you on that. And I think that's where it comes into play, though. People are always looking for a controversy. People are always looking for a reason to be upset. I always ask people that are upset by things. Like, this includes on the right wing, too, of my colleagues that are like genuinely upset at wokeness and stuff. It's like, really, are you mad about this stuff? You know what makes me mad? What makes me mad is like trying to steal children's innocence, right? You got to keep your anger directed somewhere. Like trying to go to kids and get kids fucked up sexually is fucked up. Like that's not good, right? That should make you angry. But some white guy making a joke with the N-word, does that really make you angry? You know, Nick Fuentes making a Holocaust joke, that makes you angry? You're angry about that? Really? Like that's a problem for you? Like, there's a joke about cookies and ovens, and that's despicable. That's under my best Ben Shapiro, it's so that's disgusting. It's absolutely gross. What?
That's a great impression.
Well, that's how he is. It's like, this is the worst thing that's ever happened in the history of the world. And you're like, dude, really, motherfucker? Really? Because, like, I don't know. Hundreds of thousands of Christians being killed in Azerbaijan and what's going on over there is kind of worse to me, or what's happening in Gaza is worse to me, buddy.
That's
like, I don't
so
know.
Bad, dude. It's so bad what's happening in Gaza. And all these, I lived in Hollywood. I now live out in the valley. But when the BLM riots were happening, they were burning down the neighborhood where my studio was. And I was luckily they didn't go after my building. I don't know why, but they were just going, they left it alone. And I'm really lucky. But man, they've torched businesses because of the BLM George Floyd shit. But yet they're all quiet about this Gaza shit. And it's unbelievable to me how anybody can sit there and watch what's happening in Gaza and think this is anything other than a genocide. And I'm giving people, I'll debate you about, come on the show, dude. You want a debate? Let's fucking go. Let's go. It's fucking disgusting. It's sad. And you study like the Scofield Bible and how we see Zionism come into Christianity. And it's just like all total bullshit. And it's just my girlfriend's Jewish. I couldn't give a fuck, right, about Jews. Most of them are good people. They're not the chosen people. They have all genetic diseases. And there's like four of them in pro sports. They're not the chosen people. Okay, it's the most ridiculous bullshit I've ever heard in my life. And we're all just sitting here allowing this to happen. And I've been anti-war since the jump, since day one. I'm always anti-war. I even knew 9/11 was bullshit. And then you get into all the stuff about, the guy who, Michael Kurioff or whatever his name is, who basically let all the dancing Israeli go home. All the dancing Israelis go home. And you realize that his father was, was a Talmud scholar. His mother was part of something called Operation Magic Carpet, which was essential to the founding of Israel. She was basically flying in Jews on a plane undercover. And you start to realize that. And it's like our greatest ally. Well, we've been attacked by them three times. What are we fucking talking about here?
Dude, I was going to read you this real fast. I know you might need to go soon. I don't. Are you good to talk about this
a little
bit before
longer.
You go?
I'll go like 21.
Okay. All right, cool. So check this out. I was tripping out because I saw this tweet here from Joel Berry, I would consider we follow each other. He's the managing editor of the Babylon Bee. I don't know him personally. He's nice. I think he has some really good takes on culture and life. Cernovich said, if you ever wondered why American evangelicals downplay or ignore the deaths of Christians in the Middle East, please read this under their interpretation of the Bible. Israel must be allowed to do whatever it wants. Very important to understand. So before I read this, I just want to give a little background here of saying I'm not just reading, a random person's opinion on Israel. This is the managing editor of a very large satirical publication that Elon Musk, the wealthiest guy in the world, follows and shares. Like, and he has this guy's editorial decision on what goes out. And so that's, he's got some sway in his audience, right? And he wrote this. He said, are Jews overrepresented among corrupt ruling elite? Maybe. But they're also overrepresented in scientific discoveries, life-saving medical breakthroughs, musical, theater, literary, and film masterpieces, conservative groups fighting against the corrupt ruling elite. This is because they are, as Tolkien called them, a gifted people. God has blessed the children of Abraham, protecting them from persecution and genocide for thousands of years. As the Apostle Paul said, God has not rejected his people, and he still is using the salvation of the Gentiles to bring them to a knowledge of the Messiah. We who have been grafted into the tree have no right to look with arrogance upon the branches. Jewish rejection of the Messiah brought salvation to the entire earth, and their eventual acceptance will bless the earth even further. Eventually, the prodigal son will return. When that day comes, don't let yourself be found playing the role of the resentful brother. And I like what Lauren Chen said. She's like, Joel, stop. That's, I'm not going to read her whole response. Stop.
Yeah.
Just stop. That's crazy, right? I mean, you read this, and this is what like 75% of American evangelicals believe this, that like they care more about Israel and Jews than they do about Christians, which is crazy. That's an insane thing.
Yeah, it is crazy and is insane. And if this guy actually studied the Bible, he'd realize that Ashkenazis are not descendants of Abraham. And most likely, Khazarians aren't descendants of Abraham. They're descendants of Japhi. That's who they're descendants of. It's just a fact. Bloodlines are very important if you study it. They're not Semitic, which comes from Shemetic or Shem. It's 100% fact. And so if we're going to play that Abraham descendants and all that stuff, it's absolutely ridiculous. Again, I'm not necessarily, I think at the beginning of, at the top of every single power structure is satanic Moloch worship. So you take any of these things, you look at the very top, they've all been corrupted, whether it's Islam, Judaism with Talmud Zionist, okay, the Catholic Church, the Vatican, let me say that, the Vatican and what's there. So if I say that, Sharia law, Islamic jihadists are dangerous to American or Western values, most people say, yeah, you're totally right. If I said, and just for the sake of this argument, if I said Christian fundamentalists, Christian nationalists, who, and just for the sake of the argument, protest gay people's funerals are danger, right? Let's just say that. Most people go, yeah, okay. But if I say Talmud Zionists see non-Christians as cattle and it's okay to molest non-Jews under 9 years old, okay, you would call me anti-Semitic. And it's like, you can say whatever you want. It's right there in the book. And then when you see BB and his five names on one social security number say that Israeli law is going to be based on Talmud law, now we got a real problem. And when they line up, when you see what's going on in Gaza, you see the policies that Israel has where like pedophiles in America can escape there and avoid prosecution. When you start studying these things, okay, and that may not be even be an official policy, but it is a basically an unwritten rule. Okay, this lines up with Talmud laws. Again, it's not Torah or Orthodox Jews. It's Talmud Zion, Babylonian oral history. That's what the Talmud, Babylonian oral history. That's what it is. And once you see the word Babylonian, Babylon, you know, it's Moloch worship.
Dude, it's crazy to me though, because I speak from my heart on this, is that the duping of Americans, I think that it's actually, when I said it's a good way to be canceled, is like when you're seeking truth right now, nobody really cares very much about personal attacks or all these things. Cause like life is really serious. And I was trying to explain this to somebody who was going through some personal attacks recently, and I was trying to help them. I go, dude, nobody cares. Nobody cares. I go, even if what they're saying about you has any weight, I don't even want to know if it's true, but just nobody cares. You know why? People can't afford to feed their kids right now. Okay. Canceling and all this stuff and shit talking is a luxury for people who have time and money to waste on their energy on. People are really tired today. You ever looked around how just tired everyone looks?
Yeah.
And it's not like I worked in the coal mine, so I look like I've gone through a tough day at work. They look like they're checked out. And And a lot of people are like, oh, I sell today. It's like, it's porn. It's this. It's everything. Okay. It's not a really enjoyable thing existing in the Western world today because it's so confusing because we still do have money, but it's not going so far. And it's like, you can make $100,000 and it's still tough to feed your family. In LA, maybe in Idaho, $100,000 will go far. I don't know. But in LA, I think you're in Pavo, considered in Pavo under 108 now or something like that in West LA. It's still considered like poverty level. That's crazy. Yeah. That's a lot of money. Wages haven't kept up. The amount of people that make that is nobody. Like nobody's making $100,000 realistically. Maybe if both parents are working, they're pulling in like 140, 120 if they have good jobs. But it's like people aren't making money. So when you go around there, like you're sitting with this Israel stuff, it's like, dude, maybe back in 2004, we would have had the stomach for this Gaza war and this bullshit Israel stuff. But it's like, people are actually questioning now. Why the fuck are we sending? Why is my money? Why am I being taxed and paying for this stuff? Why do I have to care about Jews? What about my family? What about my sons? What about Christians? What about my community? And I think that it's like, it's not that people are becoming anti-Semitic or racist or whatever. It's just that people don't have the luxury to be ignorant fucking morons anymore. Yeah. And so they're forced to think a little bit. And when you just think a little bit, you see through the smoke screen very quickly and you realize, holy shit, I'm a fucking slave being taxed to support a regime that does whatever the fuck it wants while ruining my life.
Yep. I totally agree, man. 100%. I totally agree, dude. And it's just like the way that we're being gaslit. I mean, it's like there's never been a hate speech law. I mean, the fact that these states are passing these hate speech laws, you know, everybody's getting mad. Oh, they got rid of Candace. That's violating her freedom of speech. No, it's not, man. The freedom of speech is about the government locking you up for criticizing the government or a topic they want you to talk about, which is what these states are doing with these anti-Semitic laws, okay? Like the fact that North or South Dakota just passed one when they have like 300 Jewish people is absolutely hilarious. And it's just like, if they don't want you talking about something, you should talk about it. That's what you should be looking at. Why don't they want me talking about that? And, you know, I'll tell you this. Do you know why? Do you know why they had to pass the anti-BDS laws on campus? Trump gave the EO. Okay. So have you noticed that college players are now getting paid through NIL, name, image, and likeness, right? Mm-hmm. And why they never wanted to pay kids before. So do you know who runs a college? You ever go, who makes money off of college? Where's the profits go? It goes into a trust, which is ran by a board of trustees. Okay. And what is the board of trustees? What is their job to do? Well, they run the college, but they also invest the money, right? So they got to invest that money in something. What they invest in is hedge funds. And most of those hedge funds involve the military industrial complex. So you have college money going to pay or invest in war. Now, right? So they never want to give any of that money away. Nobody watches college basketball. We watch, you know, they're telling us it was 14, 15 million to watch a women's basketball game. Maybe. Okay. Maybe. But nobody watches college basketball. Why are these networks paying $2, $3 billion for the basketball package? Because it doesn't go to the colleges. It goes back into the military industrial complex. And that's why they never wanted to pay kids, because it would come out of the war trust. So now they figured out this thing called NIL. Now they don't have to pay them. Now other people can pay them and they can keep all the money and keep investing. So if they allow BDS on campus, that might cause them to not be able to invest in the in any company that does work with Israel. And that is all of them.
See, I never even thought about where the money's going from universities.
Yeah.
It's so funny. You're like taking classes on how to, like, you know, stop war overseas, and you're literally just funding Northrop Grumman, you know, it's like scientific research or whatever into how to eviscerate a Gazan child in under 3 nanoseconds, you know? Like that's what I think is so fucked up. I'll just leave it at that with you so you can check out, is with the system, like, you can think you're fighting the system, but no matter what, in some way, your life will always support it. So at some point, you got to not be just getting angry all the time. You just got to stay curious, do your research, do your own discovery, and try to figure out what you can do about it. And the best thing you can do is to make better decisions in your own personal life. Get control of your own health. Be at peace in your own marriage, in your own life, your own destiny, and just go from there. So I don't really think, I didn't know that, man, with college. That's so crazy. I didn't know.
Yeah. Ryan Dawson told me that. If you ever have him, I don't know if you've had Ryan Dawson on, but
no,
he's really well researched in that. And the final thing I want to say, I see a lot of people in the thing talking about NASA. Did you see that new Scarlett Johansson movie coming out?
No.
Oh my God, you have to look at this. The trailer's basically, I think they're slowly going to tell us that they faked the moon landing. And that it was a Hollywood production, but they really landed on a moon. They just wanted to make it look, they wanted to have production of it so they could give away the film to be like, look what we did, when in reality, that wasn't it. And it's all coming out right now.
So you think?
It's called Revelation of the Method.
So you think that it's like one of those psyops where it's like, it's like what they did after the election. They said they didn't rig the election, but then they come out and they release that article and explain how they all met together. They creepily all got into a room and decided how they were going to rig the whole, you know, tech industry, media industry to make sure Trump wouldn't get elected.
Yep.
And they literally admitted to rigging it. And to this, but while you still count on YouTube or you couldn't say that it was rigged, even if you read the article, they would, you know, shut you down for admitting it. So they're just basically admitting all their lies now because it's been blown off, being like, see, we admitted it. What's the point of that? I just want to know that. What's the point of them admitting their lies? Are they going to admit that they made COVID too? Probably. I assume that.
Well, that's you're assuming that there's a virus, but the reason they do all that is because they want you to believe in space, and they want you to believe in that you're hurling on a rock, and that you're just a fucking bacteria with shoes on, and that they're, you know, you're not God's special creation. And you know, the people always go, you know, I don't want my religion, I want religion in my science. Well, the heliocentric model was created by a Jesuit priest who actually didn't want to put it out because he didn't actually believe it, but on his deathbed the Vatican's like, we made your book, look, it's gonna be around while you're dead. And that's the truth, dude. They don't want you to believe. Well, first of all, NASA is a giant money laundering scheme. It's making $50 million a day. They use that money to fund all these black op shit. They've never been to the moon. They have never gotten past the firmament. That's just a fact, dude.
So what the fuck is Elon Musk doing? What is he doing launching these rockets?
Elon Musk has done a lot of great. This whole thing about Israel, this whole thing about the killing of cancel culture would never have happened if Elon Musk didn't open up Twitter, okay? For sure. All right? But he is the number one Pentagon contractor. Okay? Number one. Most of the technology he's putting out are DARPA technologies. This whole thing about these billionaires, bro, it's all LARPs. They're all live action role players, man. You know, do you know who Jeff Bezos' grandfather is?
No.
Yeah, he's the guy who created DARPA. He founded DARPA. Okay. There's a reason why Amazon stores all stayed open during the pandemic, because it's maybe the sixth arm of the government. Okay. The reason Amazon doesn't pay taxes, why would the government pay taxes to itself? Elon Musk was put in a position to create Amazon, and they used books because everyone knew books. Nobody gives a shit about books. So he could work out the kinks of how to create online sales. And once they figured that out, they moved to everything else. And now they're taking over. Mom and pop stores are dying. Okay. They literally on Lankershim in Los Angeles, they had a sign for Amazon Fresh, which was Amazon's grocery store, says, yep, we're open, while everything else was closed down. Just a giant fuck you to everybody, dude. Dude, have you ever heard the story of Facebook?
No.
Okay. Facebook, dude. Facebook. Do you know that the Pentagon had a program called Life Log? You've never heard of Life Log? Okay.
No, I haven't. I'm not in that world so much of like looking there. That's
you're
where
there.
North
you're
that's why
there.
I watch you. That's where I watch. That's why
you're
we watch
get
Sam
into
Tripoli,
it, dude. But once you realize that the Pentagon had a program called LifeLock, and its goal was to collect your data for your entire life, all your life's data. Do you know what day the Pentagon stopped the program, the LifeLock program? February 4th, 2004. Do you know what day Facebook became a business?
Imagine then.
February 4th, 2004. The whole story of the Facebook movie is a giant propaganda lie. They want you to believe that he stole it from the Lego boss, Les. Ah, it's all bullshit. It's all bullshit. That's a giant lie. Facebook is a DARPA program.
Why? You just know? To get everyone's information? Yeah. Or to make them believe AI photos are real?
Your data. They've been selling your data to everybody. Netflix is now selling the data to Facebook. Facebook is selling the data. That's how Facebook makes its money, is off your data. Data is the new oil.
It gives me anxiety, kind of, man. Like in my chest. Like I just feel. I feel like
I went
it's
too
like,
far. No.
It gives me anxiety because it's like the more that I think that I know, the less I realize I understand, and the further things go. Like, it's not that I haven't. Like, it's not that I don't believe you. It's actually I do believe you. I just don't know why I believed. Like, it's like I've been living in a simulation. That's how it literally feels. Like everything is a simulation, and everywhere you open up, you know, a package, or you look under a bed and you find 10 more packages, 10 more beds under the bed. It's like you just keep lifting mattresses and there's more mattresses. And it's like when you realize that, like, you know, and I use Amazon, right? I mean, I don't really use Facebook, but it's like, that's what I was wondering. I'm like, man, talking about all this cultural stuff, am I part of the problem? Possibly. And that's what I've had to accept, is I might be part of the issue. That's scary, but it's possible.
Well, what you do and why you should love it is like you point what's happening out to people, and people need it. This is what makes us different than the Bolshevik War, is that the Bolshevik War they weren't privy to what was going on. We now know what is going on, and we see it happening in real time, and it's actually making their lives really hard. Their plans, if they had their way, we'd be still in the pandemic. That's what they wanted it. They literally wanted it to last 10 years, but it didn't. And it's really hard for them. Like right now, if a giant event happened in LA, let's say in America, like some big blow up, some attack happened, no one would believe it's terrorists. Everyone would believe it's the intelligence agencies. They're fucked, man. They are fucked. People are waking up more and more. The big psyop is that we're dumber than ever. The big psyop is that we're fatter than ever. It's not true at all, dude. I'm much older than you, E. My grandma thought the answer machine was voodoo. She wouldn't touch it. She's from the generation everyone thinks is smartest. How long would it take her to post something on Instagram? She couldn't do it. It's a different skill set, right? It's just completely different. Oh, we're fatter and lazier than ever. Dude, show me all the jiu-jitsu schools from the 1950s. Show me all the Thai boxing schools from the 1950s. Show me all the MMA. Show me all the CrossFit. They didn't exist. There's more
the
people
gyms
in gyms
either.
Than
what? Yeah, there's just gyms everywhere now, too. Like, when I was growing up in my city, like, we just had a YMCA. And I looked now, and there's like 11 gyms in just that one city in LA. There was just a YMCA.
It's all demoralization, buddy. They want you to feel helpless. That's all it is, dude. Everything is trying to separate you from God.
You know, I like this. Sam, I appreciate you coming on, because rarely do I get to talk to guests on the show where I feel like I'm just talking to a friend and I'm like, I never thought about that. But I also like, I'm not like, I think one of the issues is with a lot of people too, that I know, that they like to pretend like they know everything, even as they're learning it. I'm willing to just admit, like, I never thought about any of this. I didn't even know about this, but I do agree with you with the intelligence agencies. We won't watch the video, but you know, if people want to watch from Sound Investigations, you know, them exposing a current CIA officer discussing how they literally are the ones that nudged the families to sue Alex Jones for the Sandy Hook comments. And they basically authorized the government, the civil suit, to make, you know, he's being charged what, with 200,000 galactic credits or something. I think they're charging him for that. It's not even like real money. It's like monopoly money they're trying to sue him for.
Right.
And the guy says, the CIA agent, which by the way is a PSYOP, shows you that the gay community is a national security threat. They always gossip. And he's a gay guy and he was gossip. It's true. Gay people's it's
men
not
will
to be
do
gay.
Anything for ass, dude, whether it's straight men or gay men, they'll give up all the secrets to get their dick wet. And that's what we've learned.
Samson.
Yeah.
Right. Samson gave up his strength to get some pussy. But all I was going to say is he was explaining, you know, we took his money. We now he's not a threat. You know, we took all of his money. He can't expand. That's what we wanted to do. And it's like, you watch that in real time and it's like, what can they do now? Like, we all know this stuff, but gaslight harder and just hold on to power. That's all I want to know. If you have a solution to that, it's like, the reason why I get anxiety sometimes from this stuff, and I mean that genuinely, is because you know this stuff and you're like, yeah, okay, that's true. I believe that that's true, but that's fucked. Now we're just fucked. Like, what do we, so we're just fucked. Like,
no, we're not.
I don't know.
We're not fucked. And listen, dude, not all are going to be saved, and you can't save anybody but yourself. But the best way to fight back is to know their game. And when you know their game, you don't play into it. That's how you win. You don't pay attention to it. That's how they lose. And by not paying attention to it, not losing your anxiety, dude, they want your energy. They want your anxiety. They're trying to jack your louche, which is your spirit energy. They want you depressed and full high anxiety. Once you understand the game that's being played, right? Once you understand that, okay, they can't fuck with you anymore. Now, that doesn't mean they won't try to do great things, but if that day comes, grab your gun, grab your jujitsu, grab your whatever you've been doing, and then you deal with it. Until then, you got to live your life, and that's how you fucking win. And that's how, and the key is to spread the love. You know, it's like I'll leave you on this because I don't want to freak out, but the truth of the matter is that it's easy versus simple, dude. It's like easy versus simple. Easy is pornography, drugs, quick sex, video games, 90 Day Fiance, everything that's a quick dopamine hit, dude, versus simple, which is prayers, working out, meditation, abundance, law of attraction, helping others, getting closer. Are you getting closer to God or are you getting farther from God, right? And I've been saying this for years, and then this whole thing came out that they find that progressives are more liberal than ever, and the more liberal you are, the more progressive you are, the more full of anxiety you are, because you're getting farther from God. The closer you get to God, the more still you are, the more simple. And I'm not talking like organized religion either. I'm talking a connection with you and source. The closer you get to that, the happier you tend to get. Now, that doesn't mean that my life doesn't have a ton of turbulence in it. It does. This is the realm you constantly get tested in. And, you know, and it's my belief that the universe warns you and then it shows you. And if you don't listen to the warnings, it's going to show you. And sometimes it's a little show, but sometimes you never come back from it. And that's my whole thing, dude. Yes, I'm a Christ guy. I also believe in mysticism. Uh-oh, I'm a bad guy. I believe in energy manipulation, but I am. Christ saves. Christ saved me. God above all. Treat your love thy neighbor. That's how I live my life.
Amen, man. Sam Tripoli, comic, podcaster. If people want to find you and follow you, if they want to support your work,
all things go Sam ahead. Tripoli, even on all the social media, and then just go samtripoli.com.
Dude, when I get back to the States soon, we should do something in person where we should do something in person because I feel like I'm really open to a lot of things. I spent so many years working in like Con Inc, you know, like in this Democrat versus Republican world that I've, you know, been really trying to break out of the last couple years.
They want you in that, dude.
Oh, it's so cringe, man. Like, it's just like even now, man, even now, like I see people, like it's like claws and they're like lobsters, you know, they just try to like pull me down and pull me back into it. I'm like, dude, I'm like talking to anyone and everyone about anything and everything. That's where my mind's at now. I'm not doing this Democrats, Republicans. Like, yes, I do work with news agencies and I still do, you know, some like normal work for them. That's like, you know, writing stories and talking about those things. But in my own personal show, my own personal life, I'm trying to discover reality and truth, and I want to know what's actually going on in the world. I want to know what's happening every day, and I want to find peace that passes understanding. Which I want to say this, by the way, this is not a dig to you. My producer said this podcast, if you're watching this now and you want to watch the repeat, if you're on YouTube, it's going to live only on Rumble and Censored TV, just because we got a strike recently for Jew stuff, and they just gave us a strike. And we're never going to stop talking. That's the rule in the show. We don't limit guests or topics, but a lot of shows recently have just been living on Rumble and Censored TV, because if we don't take them down, as you found out last time, they took down like 8 of our videos. But we got a strike for 8 videos. They took down 8 videos. And then right before that, they took down like 12 videos. And then in December of 2022, they deleted our entire catalog, or said they were going to delete our channel. So we had to delete every video, or they were going to delete. Dude. Yeah. So
they took away a whole channel of mine before. Then they build up another channel. I've been at 140,000 subscribers for what seems like 6 years.
Oh, we're going down on YouTube. I mean, at least, are you on Rumble, by the way? Because we're growing on Rumble.
I love Rumble. I'm great. I had some weird stuff happen with my views, but I'm a huge Rumble fan. I'm trying to get some traction over there. I do a show called Doom Scrolling, where I play the best of all the clips. I want to play your clips about the guy in that prison that he talked about when they created that one kind of prison. Somebody clipped it. About how that prison where the warden looks like he's watching everybody and they don't know. And he was talking about censorship. I'm going to play that on the show. And yeah, man, I love it. But I'm also creating, you know, at samtribbley.com, you get all of my content there. And that stuff is decentralized. They can't take that down. I'm sure they'll find it. They could do it if they really wanted to. But, you know, I love it, dude. Yeah, I mean, YouTube, I only keep my stuff on YouTube because you have to have a presence on there, because that's Main Street. And like Jimmy Dore says, you know, there's no other time in history where utility, because that is what YouTube is. It is an arm of the government, has been allowed to be manipulated, where people aren't allowed to use it to benefit their businesses. You know, it's like back in the 70s, if the phone company told you, oh, we don't like what you're saying, you can't use the phone. People lose their minds. Like, dude, your business would shut down. Now they're effing us. They're not. I mean, they're killing their own brand, in my humble opinion. YouTube's traction isn't. Their numbers aren't the same, and they're killing themselves. I hope Rumble grows. It's a wonderful product.
It's like I think it needs like it needs some people from the tech industry that want to revolt against the tech to bring it up to par, because. But I always tell people, sometimes what you wish for could be the worst enemy, because like they have a shitty algorithm, which makes like search impossible. Like if you type in my name, this channel doesn't even pop up. It's just videos from other channels. So it's like it's hard to find. But what I do like is I'd much rather get 20,000-25,000 views on a podcast and those stick, and I don't get my shows deleted. And like today, where I can just leave my show up. And I go, you know what? YouTube sucks, but so does, Rumble sucks, but so does censorship. So, you know, I have over 500,000 subscribers and I can barely get like 10,000 views on a video after they deleted my entire catalog. So we used to get a lot more, and they deleted my catalog and my views went down like 90%, and it's never recovered since. So
bro, what's the point? I have 144,000 subscribers. I can't get above 15,000. Hardly almost on anything. I just have one go 20. Like, dude, I look at all my friends and they're just crushing it by playing by the rules, and God bless them. I wish I could. I can't, because I know what that means. But it's demoralizing, dude. It sucks. So you just stay in the pocket and you just find, I put it everywhere. I put my Rockfin, BitChute, all, I have a guy who uploads them everywhere. And that's all you can do. And hopefully to collectively, Odyssey, I put on Odyssey, they get everything. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we will see. Anyway, Sam, thanks for coming on, man. Again, we'll do something in person when I'm there. We could have, you know, a really good multiple hour conversation about everything I don't know. And
anytime, dude. Any day that's not Wednesday, I would sit down and take it from the beginning to the end. And we'll do it, dude.
All right, brother. Hey, get some good night rest, man, and say hi to the family.
Congratulations on all your success, and thanks to your fans for not completely. They think I'm Michael J. Fox. I'm sorry. I just, for like when I listen to people, I shake my head a lot. You know, maybe it's from my tweaky days, but love your fans. Thanks for everything. Thanks for having me, dude.
All right. Thanks, brother. Have a good one. All right. To everyone else watching, shout out to Sam Tripoli. Make sure that you follow him. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure that you guys know, support this show directly. I was supposed to do more advertisers in the show. I just didn't feel like doing it because I just didn't. There was no good spots to drop the reads. I had two other reads to do, but I didn't do them. Because I'm just tired today, you know? I'm tired. I just have a sick baby at home, as you guys know, and he's just sick and not doing, he's okay, but he's not doing well. So, and my wife is very sick too. So I got a sick wife, a sick son. It's, you know how that is, parents? Are you in the chat? Anyone in the chat know what that's like? When you just got sick family at home and it's just rough, right? Someone said, oh, you're still on YouTube? Lucky. Yeah, we are still on YouTube, but now we are trying to be careful. So we'll be deleting this episode from YouTube directly. Sorry about that, guys. If you're watching on YouTube right now, you're probably going to get confused because it's going to go away. We just, like, when we start, like, criticizing the Jews and Israel and stuff and, like, all the stuff about the Khazars and the Ashkenazis and stuff, I don't have a problem with any, like, so people don't accuse me of censoring my guests. I have no issue with guests talking about any of that stuff, but that's the kind of stuff that keeps getting our videos deleted and getting us strikes. So I'm just going to delete it off YouTube and let it live on Rumble, right? You guys are awesome. Shout out to everyone in the chat and YouTube. I can see you guys as well. And at Censored, how are you guys doing? Let me see how you guys are doing at Censored. Let me see if we got any super chats or anything as well. I didn't check for that. That would be good to know. I should have done that before he left. Cocteau said, Elijah's become a favorite. NYCCR is another favorite of show of mine here. Some episodes are really different than others. The last ones are usually the ones with Pat and Doug, Rifing, blah, blah, blah. That's on Censored. I'm going to read some of the comments. Notice Ryan said, yes, I like what Elijah is doing a lot and want to support. Not too many people on his level, in my opinion. Oh, great. Thanks, guys. Notice Ryan joined recently to Censored. So make sure you join there. Promo code OFFENSIVE for 20% off. Join the movement. Join the site. You get this show and so many other shows ad-free, too. The ads get cut out, and you get a bonus show on Thursday nights as well. So we do an extra show on Thursday nights. Make sure you check it out. Shout out to everyone in the Rumble chat. I don't think we got any super chats tonight in Rumble, but that's where we're at. And then we did get a couple in the locals chat. Vince Lasagna said, yes, Jalur Jujem. What? Mermaid American said, tonight's super chat is in Armenian in honor of Sam. Yes, Giadam. I can't read. I am retarded. I am gay. I am just stupid. I literally can't read shit. I don't know what it is. I can't read on my screens. That's so weird. Why can't I can't read shit. So that's where it is. Also someone said happy wife, happy life. How about happy spouse, happy house? How about also fuck happiness? Like, you don't need to be happy. You don't need to be happy all the time. Just have a fulfilling life. Sometimes you'll be sad. Some days are harder than others. A lot of life is just moving and hard work. A lot of it's just moving and hard work. So that's where it is. Shout out to everyone in the Rumble chat as well. Shout out to some of the regulars here, like Minxy Mink 68, Mike Zion, Based Ghost is there. Third Coast Texas Toast is there. Cocteau is in like five chats right now, and then in the locals chat, of course, we got Shane Wiley. Can't read. Bone Shred, Butthead, Mermaid American with Deb Stupp, of course. They say they miss Kez. That's always a lot of fun too. Doomsday Cracker is in there. Got a lot of the regulars. A lot of the regulars around in the chat. I don't know who's a regular. Oh, that Raging Cajun supported the show right now. Just sent a $50 super chat. Thank you, man. said, great show. Get some soup for the sick family. Praying for speedy recovery. I'm actually bad because they're sick and I had to go to do this. And it's, by the way, it's like 1:30 here, my time in the afternoon. And so I just ordered them Big Don's McDonald's. And yes, I gave baby E a chicken nugget. I know I shouldn't be giving him any of that food. And we usually feed him really healthy, organic stuff. But Tez is sick and she can't get off the couch. So every time she gets up, she's going to throw up. So then I got him 3 chicken nuggets because he's that little. And he ate them. And he ate a French fry. So it's, yes, it's poison and seed oils. But that's what you get when mom's sick and dad needs to go to work and somehow figure out lunch. You get 3 chicken nuggets. Crucify me, but dads know what I'm talking about. It's like, sometimes it's like, dude, okay, I got to just go get you chicken nuggets. You know, I don't have another choice for that. Eat the goy slop, goy. Eat the goy slop. All right. And someone said, why do I live in Australia? If you're new to the show, my wife got pregnant and my mom's dead. And so we don't have, and I don't have like a I don't have close family. My family's not close, right? So we had no support in Texas. So we came out here to have kids around her mom, who is very supportive, and her sister and stuff. So moms want to be around their family. So we came out here to have it just like, because we needed help, right? When you start a new family, you want help. So we came out here to be around family. I don't love it here though. You know, it's like a way more strict version of America, right? It's like, there's like more cameras and like more rules and less freedom than the US. Still very free comparatively to like North Korea. It's that bad comparison. But yeah, but I like the conspiracies on why I'm here. So if you hear a conspiracy about why I'm in Australia, just believe it. And as I always say on this show, believe everything you hear about me on the internet because it's all true. And it's even if it contradicts each other, everything you read about me and everyone else on the internet is verifiably true. So believe it all and spread it. Spread it. Even if it's unverified, just spread it all because it's all true. Spread it all. Someone said I wasn't supposed to stare at the eclipse. Oh man, that's true. Anybody out there have a dude? When my mom died, my family fell apart. It's really sad, man. It makes me sad. Honestly, it does make me sad. Things just haven't been the same, you know. So that's why I'm building my own family and I'm trying to build it back up. But NB4 Janice said, Shmuley agreed to debate Fuentes. Elijah, I beg of you, make this happen for us. I've offered to host it. I've offered. I hit up Fuentes. I offered. I'll do it.
Not available, sir.
Oh, shit. Sorry for yawning. Mike Zion said, Elijah is gay. That's why he's in Aussieland. Fact check true. Brian Drick said, bacon and eggs, proper nutrition. Get her done. I know. I was just leaving. Not available, said Elijah, moved to Australia for all you can eat kangaroo. We got a couple rest in peace moms. It's true. Basco said, Elijah is the worst debate host, but I am a host. I think that we just have a different idea of what a debate is. Like, I just kind of like the blood sports. I like when people attack each other. I think it's fun. Could you see the eclipse in Australia? No, I don't think so. I didn't see anything. We didn't have anything like that at all. Do people eat kangaroo? Yeah, they sell it in the shop, like next to the lamb and the beef. You can just buy kangaroo burgers, kangaroo meat, kangaroo tails. There's a kangaroo tail soup people eat. Really interesting story. Someone I know here had a pet kangaroo, but he died. And he was a baby kangaroo. So it was really sad. And then my in-laws, you know, live in like a very wild place. I'm down there regularly. So yeah, that's what it is. But kangaroos there, I don't think marsupials are good though. I don't think they taste good. I don't think it tastes good. Am I the only one that has eaten kangaroo and just wasn't into it? I don't think it's good. I don't think it tastes good. I don't think kangaroo is good. But we have a lot of marsupials out here. We have kangaroo, we have wallabies, which are like smaller. And I was on a walk the other day at my in-laws, and there was some wallabies just hanging out. You know what I mean? So you do just, there's a lot of kangaroos out here. There's more kangaroos than people, actually. There's just a lot of kangaroos. There's a lot of kangaroos here, like just everywhere. And they're very dangerous. They're dangerous animals, you know? Like, you don't want to... You can actually fight them, though, which is nice. They, like, fight like humans. Like, they actually fight. And so, yeah, you want to stay away from that. Someone said, it's all about how you cook it. Yeah, I got to slow cook it. Oh, that's good. I like everyone's dropping off as we're just reading the chat. I'm just giving you guys a little bit of chat reading tonight because of that. All right. To those of you guys who are there, though... Yeah, someone said I'm plotting my escape past the ice wall. Someone said I'm in Australia to get chlamydia from koalas. Maybe, maybe. All right. All right. We can cut the stream on YouTube. Brian, you can cut, goodbye to everyone on YouTube. Brian, you can cut it and you can delete the stream there. So that's fine. Sorry, guys. We're deleting that stream. But good night. And to those of you guys who are on Rumble and on Locals and on Censored, hello everyone. And we will, I hope you guys enjoyed the chat too with what is that? You have pictures of Kez's pregnant belly.
Oh, someone said, is Kez currently up the duff?
I don't know what that means. I've never heard that phrase. I don't know what that means at all. I hope you guys enjoyed Sam Tripoli on here. We're trying to get a variety of guests on just in the meantime. You know what I mean?
Oh, man, I gotta go. I gotta go take a nap. I've just been up all night. You know what I mean?
Oh, Third Texas Ghost Toast said they liked my kookaburra picture, so that's nice. And that's where we're at. And also said, yes, win guest. I feel like someone said you can end the stream, you're making me yawn. Yeah. All right. I can end the stream whenever I want, actually. It's actually true. We can end it whenever we want. We can do whatever we want. So... it's good. All right, guys. Thank you so much again for watching another episode of Nightly Offensive. This is why we are on Rumble and on Censored. If you support the show and you like the conversations we have, I encourage you to get a membership at Locals or Censored. You guys are amazing. You guys are fantastic. And I'll see you tomorrow night. To the rest of you guys watching, have a great rest of the week as always. And may God bless the United States of America. I'm signing out.